We open the scriptures to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. Luke, chapter 2. We'll read verses 7 through 20 and also look at those verses this morning as our text. Luke 2, 7 through 20. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Beloved, it is the day of holiday greetings, isn't it? We receive greetings and we give greetings. Some say Merry Christmas. Better to say a blessed Christmas. Some say we wish you a Merry Christmas. Better to say we pray that you may have a blessed Christmas. Now, those holiday greetings can be empty, hollow expressions, merely sentimental. And this morning, from Luke 2, we want to see that a blessed Christmas and praying for a blessed Christmas is not necessarily, and need not be, and should not be for us an empty expression. We wanted to see this morning what makes for a blessed Christmas, for certainly that was what the shepherds had in verse 20. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen. This morning we want to see that we ought, in this greeting, to pray for one another, to pray that we will hear and receive the gracious message of the birth of Jesus Christ, that the other will respond to it in true faith and then know the true blessing of Christmas. This morning, as your pastor, I pray a blessed Christmas for you, that you may personally hear and receive the gracious message of the birth of Jesus Christ, that you will receive it in faith, and that you will experience the blessings of it yourself through that faith. Those things are here in the text. What makes for a blessed Christmas? A message of sovereign grace and a response of believing joy. The message of the angels to the shepherds, the first Christmas message, was a message of sovereign grace. You see that first in the source of the message. God in heaven sent the angel. You read in the text that the angel of the Lord appeared unto the shepherds. This was a divine revelation. Lo, an angel of the Lord came upon them. The Christmas message has its origin in heaven. For about 450 years, there was darkness and silence from heaven in the earth. And then the birth of Christ was imminent, and the birth of Christ happened, and God spoke again. God spoke into the darkness. He revealed himself from heaven. He sent the messengers to bring the good tidings. That's a message of sovereign grace. Hebrews 1 puts it this way: God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spoke by the prophets, hath spoken by his Son. And the important word is the very first one. God came into the darkness, and he spoke the glorious message of the birth of his Son. It's not that we loved him, but it's that he loved us and gave his Son. You see, the sovereign grace of this message, second in the recipients of this message, they were the shepherds. And who were these shepherds? They were a very low, despised class in society, only one rank above the slaves that people had. Why was this? Well, it was partly because of their reputation. They had a reputation for being thieves, for being dishonest. They roamed the fields and they disputed over the fields and they stole animals from one another. And so bad was this, their reputation, that they weren't even permitted to give testimony in the courts. They were also ceremonially unclean. They never came into the city. They didn't keep the Jewish laws, and they couldn't come into the temple. These were despised men, and God sends his angels first to them. Boys and girls, just imagine, you're a servant in a palace of a king, and the king's wife, the queen, has a child. The prince, the heir to the throne. And the king asks you as one of his servants to let people know, to publish abroad the news of the birth of the prince. Where will you go? Who will you tell? Well, you would go to family members. You would go to other important rulers in the earth, wouldn't you? But God doesn't do that. God comes to the lowest and despised, the shepherds, and announces the birth of his Son. Why? Because in the birth of his Son, in every detail of the birth of his Son, God is showing that in his grace, he stoops to save the lowest of sinners. If you think about the birth of Jesus Christ as it's recorded in the Gospels, every detail of it was humble. Humble parents, poor. A young woman, a carpenter. Homeless in some ways. No room for them in any important building, but only in a stable. No cradle, but a manger. No clothes, but swaddling cloths. He was born into this poverty. Why? There's a sign there. The angel says, "This shall be a sign unto you." It's a sign of the grace of God. 2 Corinthians interprets it that way. "Ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ." And this was the grace, that He, being rich, became poor, that through His poverty we might be rich. You see, grace. But you see, sovereign grace here too. God chooses to reveal the birth of His Son to whom He wills. And it's certainly not who man would choose, but God chooses whom He wills. The poor and the despised, not many rich, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but the despised. It's not a human standard. God's grace is sovereign. You see, His sovereign grace also in the content of the message. Now, there's a lot in the content of the message of the angels here, and we can't examine all the details of it, but there's a key note, isn't there? There's one thing that rings through it all, that takes supremacy, and you have it there in verse 14. This is the angel's message: glory to God in the highest. That takes priority. That governs the rest of the content of the message. Yes, peace on earth. Yes, goodwill to men. But this kind of peace, the peace that brings glory to God, this kind of goodwill, the goodwill that honors the glory of God, it's a message of sovereign grace. You see that? In the gracious gift of Christmas. The angel said in verse 10, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, and here's the gift, for unto you is born." A gift, gracious, but particular. Unto you. Says the angel. And so you see God's sovereign grace in the Christmas message, and that's the blessed message of Christmas. A message of a Christ who comes to save all, and a message of a Christ who wishes goodwill toward all men, head for head, but does not bring it to all and cannot save all, but waits on the will of man, is not a blessed message. It's a message of the sovereign Christ who comes to save whom He will. That is a blessed Christmas message. It's a grace. It's a message of grace to helpless sinners. Now, second, we look at the response of the shepherds to the message. And beloved, if we're going to pray for anything for each other today, as we wish one another a blessed Christmas, if we're going to pray for anything for one another, it is that we may respond to the message of Christmas and the birth of Christ in the way that the shepherds do. Then we'll truly experience, then will truly enjoy the blessings of the birth of Christ. What is their response? Two things. First, they believe the message, and then second, they broadcast the message. Their belief in the message is described for us in verses 15 and 16. Notice first that they have a confident faith. They don't hesitate. They say in verse 15, at the end of the verse, "Come, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." They don't hesitate. They say to each other, "Let us go, let us go." They don't say, "Well, we've got these sheep to care for. They need our attention." They don't say, "Well, We have other cares and concerns in our life that trump this one. But suddenly, there was a priority. Let us now go to Bethlehem. Where did that confidence come from? It came from the end of verse 15, the fact that this was the word which the Lord had made known unto them. In the angels, messengers, they saw the Lord who had sent the message. And because it was God's word, there was confidence in their faith. You notice also that their faith was an active faith. Their faith is obedient. They not simply receive the message and say, well, that's nice. Nice idea. But it commands them. It activates them. And in verse 16, they came with haste. They hurry to obey the message of the angels. In this, they become the first disciples of Jesus Christ. Later on in the Gospel of Luke, we read that Jesus came and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of customs, and he said unto him, follow me. And he left all and followed him. This was the shepherds. They were not like some others who would follow Jesus but said, Lord, let me first bid farewell to them who are at my home. Let me first bury my father. But they came with haste. Their faith was confident. Their faith was obedient. And beloved, that's the response that we ought to have to the message of the birth of Christ, to the gospel of grace in the birth of Christ. These angels had the ideal audience for their sermon. Men who received the word, men who embraced the word, men who believed the word, men who acted on the word, men who didn't doubt the word, but they believed the gospel that was spoken. Today, God doesn't send angels, but the word angel means messenger, and God sends messengers, and the messengers today are the preachers of the gospel of grace. And as we hear the gospel of grace through faithful preaching that accords with God's word revealed in the scriptures, which is the standard, then we must believe. You must believe and receive it as the shepherds did. The Apostle Paul could say of the Thessalonians that they received his word not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. And that must be our response to the gospel of grace. Yours today. Only that way do you come into the blessing of the birth of Christ. They came in verse 16, and they found not only Mary and Joseph, but the babe lying in the manger. Embracing the word, they embraced the Savior. And what a sight for them with the eyes of faith to come and find and behold the baby lying in the manger. In verse 12, we're told by the angel that this would be a sign unto them that they would find the baby lying in the manger. And that sign is explained for us more in verse 7. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for him, for them in the inn. What's the sign? We've said already it's a sign of grace, but it's a sign also of sin and grace. It's a sign of forgiveness of sins through grace. The poverty is the poverty of our sin. We can't fully explain what the shepherds saw in the sign of the baby in Bethlehem, but we know this. They saw enough. They saw enough to know this is the Savior, this is the Christ, this is the Lord. They saw enough to know their salvation. And their experience, their joy, is the proof of it. In verse 18, in verse 20, they returned glorifying God and praising Him for all the things that they had heard and seen. What was their experience? Joy. Joy. True joy. True blessedness. In the Christmas message, they saw the Son of God. They embraced the Word as a Savior. And that brought them true joy. And beloved, as we believe the word of the gospel, the gracious revelation of Christ in Bethlehem, God also brings that experience to us, the joy of the shepherds who saw their Savior in the sign of Bethlehem, the joy of forgiveness as we trust in the Savior. The other part of the response of the shepherds was that they broadcast that which they had seen and heard. In verse 17, when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They were filled with love, filled with awe, filled with rejoicing, and they could not contain themselves. They were more concerned to spread this message than to get back to their earthly task. Children, haven't you had it before where you just had something you wanted to say? You couldn't wait to get off the bus, the school bus, to tell your mother. You couldn't wait till your father came home to tell. You couldn't wait to see your friend at school to tell them. That's something of what the shepherds have here. They could not wait to broadcast this message. In Acts 4, verse 20, the apostles say, "We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." They couldn't wait. They couldn't contain themselves. What did they speak of? Well, they spoke first of Jesus. At the end of verse 17, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. This child, Jesus. And what was the saying? In verse 11, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." That's what they made known about the baby. He's the Savior. He's the Christ, the Anointed. He's the Lord of heaven and earth here in human flesh. And they made known abroad the saying concerning the child. They spoke of Jesus. They spoke of the wonder of the incarnation. They spoke of the wonder of God coming in the flesh to save from sin. But they spoke also about God. The angel said, "Glory to God in the highest," and the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God, because this they saw was the essence, the meaning, the blessedness of Christmas, that God would receive the glory. They didn't speak of Joseph and Mary only. They didn't end at the manger scene, but they ended in God. Paul put it this way, "Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift." The shepherds gave praise to God, the giver. And then also they spoke of the promises of God. In the end of verse 20, they returned glorifying God for the things which they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. They were told. There was a promise. But they saw it and they heard it. It was fulfilled. And living in a world, we live in a world that makes promises which never bring joy. Living in a world that made promises like that, they said, no, there is a promise. The gospel promise, which promises all and which gives all. And they went and they published the promise of the gospel. That's a pattern for us, for our witnessing, for our evangelism, for our response to the gospel of grace. This is a proof that we know the joy of Christmas, that we speak of it, that we publish it, that we broadcast it. We speak with one another. We cannot contain ourselves in the witness that we give to others. They heard, they knew, they believed, they saw, they embraced, they rejoiced, they broadcast. That was a blessed Christmas. And beloved, may you have a blessed Christmas. Amen. Father, we thank Thee for the gift of Thy Son, for the glorious revelation to sinners. And Lord, give us faith, give us joy in this day. For Jesus' sake, amen.